grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and welcome to this our worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name. Intimations. Tea and coffee after the service, just a time to be together, time of fellowship to share together. And a reminder for the stewardship campaign, just to, if you've got a response slip, just to bring it in. Fill it in, bring it in as a returns box at the front door there. The guild meeting on Tuesday is Dr. Morag Thau, as she completes the talk, which was interrupted by a power cut last session. Subject is bones, deals with arthritis and so on. And then there's the rally for the Ardross and Presbyterial Council, North Parish Church, on the 24th Wednesday at 2 o'clock. From Friday through Sunday we have the stewardship convention. Friday night is Kenny Borthwick down at Ardeer. It's 7:30, talking about discipleship, leadership, and then on Saturday evening here is Rob Barlow. He'll be at the same time, 7:30. He'll be speaking about mission. And then on Sunday morning we have a shared worship at Ardeer at 10:30, and Rob will be with us as well, and he'll maybe share something as well there. And then there's an invite to join our friends at the High Kirk in the halls at 12 o'clock for lunch together. Then on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock we have a praise evening just to bring the weekend to a close. So please consider that prayerfully. Try and be there. It's a time just to get to know more of what God is calling in our lives. So please consider that. There's Church Magazine articles to Catherine Reid by the 31st of October, and there's always an email address there. And the walk together every Wednesday at 11 o'clock from our dear church hall. On the 7th of November, there's also the get-together lunch, 11:30 to 2 o'clock. And then the 4th of November, Bonnie Leslie Court at 3 o'clock. It's just a time to share worship with the residents there. And it was slightly early notice of the session meeting on the 7th of November. But of course, we're not actually here. We're down the road next week, so... the session meeting Wednesday the 7th at 7 p.m. Some more information in about food allergies and intolerances, and that documentation is on display in the kitchen. If you're involved in any of that, please do check it. And an amended total from Alan, £570.75. So a big thank you for all who donated. And the Livingston players, there's tickets available, but not for the Tuesday night. £7 for adults, £5 for children. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Let's stand to worship. Powerful Holy Spirit, come down upon us and subdue us. From heaven, where the ordinary is made glorious, and glory seems but ordinary, bathe us with the brilliance of your light like dew, And we continue, my Jesus, my Saviour, and then all heaven declares. Declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship him alone.
Thank you.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the blender, for the display of his splendour. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you, our Creator God, have made us and called us to be your disciples, followers of you. Father, you promise us through Jesus Christ, your Son, your Spirit, and we rejoice. May we know that oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Father, as we worship you this morning, we give you the glory and the honour. We bow before you. For nothing can compare with the beauty of you, our Lord. We come to bow the knee. We come to proclaim the glory of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to reconcile us with you, our Father. So, Father, we worship you. And sometimes, Lord, that we've got used to things as they are and we don't see the things that you do by your Spirit. We don't see sometimes the way that you work. We don't always recognize the beauty of your creation. And Father, we don't always understand that the love that you have for us and the love that you have for each one, what that means for us and how we are with our neighbours. Father, you call us to love you and to love our neighbours. So forgive us, Lord, when we forget that. Forgive us when what we do and what we say doesn't meet that time of loving a neighbour or loving you. Forgive us, Father, when we want to go out alone because in our pride and arrogance we think we can do it better. Forgive us, Father, and Lord, just as we are and pray that your Spirit would come upon us to fill us, to renew us, a spirit of forgiveness. And also the ability to accept the forgiveness bought by Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection. By your Spirit, Lord, free us to follow you. Free us of the ways of this world, to be closer to you. And Father, hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our scripture comes to us from Romans chapter 2.
Listen now for the word of God. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 29. The Jews and the Law. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. So then, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirement, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The one who is not circumcised physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code and circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No. A person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Amen. Thanks be to God for teaching of his holy word.
Got love technology. There we go. The thought before worship this morning was how many persons are in God. And of course we're saying that there's three persons in the one true God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I just want to try and go through that just for a few moments, what that might actually look like, because of course we speak about the Trinity, but we never find the word Trinity in the Bible. But that doesn't make it less important. And really, to think about this, there's seven statements I just want to go through, and the first one is this: that there is God. There is only one God. God is one. There is only one God. But God is Father, and the Father is God. And it's the same with Jesus, the Son, who is God. And then also, we have the Holy Spirit, who is God. But the importance here, of course, is that the Father is not the Son. That the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is not the Father. But three persons, all the same substance, equal in rank, power, and glory, and majesty. Three separate but one God. Three beings in one. For me, this is part of the mystery. Sometimes we want to rationalize everything and explain everything about who God is, understand the positioning, but actually sometimes we just have to get to a point of there's some things we don't fully understand. But here we have three persons in God, equal in rank, power, glory and majesty, and the Trinity who works with us, for us, and through us. And in some ways that can help us to understand that there's a unity and diversity. There is a commonality in all this. So often we think that diversity means absolutely different things, completely, but there is a commonality in all that. Because the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Holy Spirit and all works in, what we have is an eternality in love. When we speak about God as love, actually, that's been from the very start, before the world was created. Because before the world, there was God, and there is love, because there was God in three persons. So love has existed from all time. And actually, the last statement is also equally as important. There is nothing more important in all the world than knowing God. Nothing more important in all the world than knowing God. And for us, it's just to try and work out in our minds what this means and how it can be. Understanding too that God is a mystery. So we have God, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're beyond our understanding. As you're beyond our understanding, but thank you for bringing us into your love. Love here that existed before the world in your three perfect persons. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Who put the colours in the rainbow? Who put the salt into the sea? Who put the cold into the snowflake? Who made you and me? Let's stand to worship. And we continue with our offering. come to our prayers for others, just a few prayer points for us to remember and pray more directedly. And from Ardrossan Presbytery prayer circle, it's prayer cycle, it's Cumbrae linked with Largs, St John's and the Reverend Jonathan Fleming. Jonathan's also the convener of the Finance and Stewardship Committee of Presbytery. From the Crossreach Prayer Diary, it's William Woodhouse in Glasgow. It's a care home for older people living with dementia. And Path Renewal Congregation is Bowness Old, and the Reverend Amanda Macquarie and her mentor, Reverend Donald Laurie. Just a wee scan to in the news, picked up a few things. Maybe we can remember these in prayer as well and watch how they develop. There's the announcement that the US are intend to leave the nuclear treaty of 1987 with Russia. I think we just need to pray over that. The discovery of mad cow disease in an Aberdeenshire farm. It's the impact of that, not just on agriculture, but on a family. And then sort of more internationally, violence at Afghanistan polling stations, thousands of migrants stuck at the Mexican-Guatemala border, and to remember the effects of the tsunami and earthquakes in Indonesia. So with all these things, let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come together to thank you. Thank you that we can meet together in peace and safety. Thank you, Lord, that we can meet together to worship you as a church family here in this place. Lord, we thank you for all the times in the week that we've seen your hand, felt your touch. For all the times we've been able to call on you. And as we pray together now, we pray for those things that have been mentioned. We pray for the congregations, Cumbrae and Larg St John's and of Bowness, for their ministers. For the eldership, those who carry out the work of keeping the places. And Lord, as we pray that your Spirit would be at work amongst these people. That they would know more of you. Father, we lift these things of concern up to you as we pray for our world. A world which seems full of violence and aggression. A world which seems to have leaders who are, instead of want to speak to each other, just want to be at each other. We pray for those people whose lives have been torn apart by violence, Pray for those whose lives have been torn about, torn apart by earthquake or tsunami. And Father, we pray for your church throughout the world. They would be beacons of light in the darkness. We pray for our own Church of Scotland and for the folk of Shetland, where they're seeing 20 churches close. And Lord, while it might make sense, it can be very difficult for the few connected to each of these places. We pray for the Church of Scotland as she looks at how and what the way forward could be, needs to be. But as we wrestle with that, may we focus on you. Father, as we pray for those we know who are not well. For those that we know are seriously ill. May they all know your healing touch. We pray for those who are grieving and mourning. That point of grief, may they know your comfort and peace. We pray for those who are struggling with today, struggling to make ends meet, struggling to cope without food banks. Pray for those whose own homes are not places of safety for them. And Father, as we pray that they would know Jesus Christ, light of the world, a beacon of light in the darkness of their world. Lord God, as we sit around here, we pray for each one, those who are on our left, on our right, those who are in front of us or behind us, those who are above us or below us, those who are another part of this building. We pray for each one. May your Spirit touch each one. May you be that comfort and joy for each one. In a moment of silence, Lord, we pray for the folk that you've put in our hearts and in our minds. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. This is our God, the servant king. Let's worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that I'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And this I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, there's always been, and there always will be, people whom we think should be better who fall from grace. And just when I was starting to think that wee bit through, I was reminded of a time some almost 30 years ago when I came on duty at headquarters in Dundee as one of the charge room clerks. So in charge of all the prisoners that had gathered, and this was the 1st of January. As I read the book, there was the name of a police officer who'd been arrested during the night. I spent time with him, a wee bit of time with him in his cell, just chatting with him. And he was conscious of his fall from grace. You know, and that just affected him in a particular way, and it's something that's stuck with me ever since. But we see it. Police officers, politicians, clergy, doctors, and fall from grace. You know, it's about their integrity, and it's about integrity. And that fall from grace can either be a moment's stupidity, or it can be a longer period of bad, a lifetime of bad, maybe. But you know, one of the things that happens when we see it in the papers, or read it in the internet, or we find out on Facebook, or whatever other social media we kind of look at, or maybe television, a lot of people will turn around and say, you know, they're all alike, those doctors, clergy, politicians, police. Bad lot. That proves it. Told you so. They're all tarred with the same brush. But that's not true. It's not true. And sometimes these falls from grace, very sore, very difficult for the one who has fallen from grace. But all this is about sometimes how we see people in their own lives. Sometimes we also see people who are clearly talking the talk, but are they walking the walk? And this is what Paul is getting into here in Romans. Talking the talk, but not walking the walk. These verses are all about the integrity, and he's writing, particularly because he's speaking to the Jews, he's writing about the integrity of being Jewish. And actually, he deals with it really well. There's an element that this is about profession without performance, about ritual without reality. And Paul in these verses looks at two things, two distinguishing marks of being Jewish. That's the law, the written code given by God to Moses, and circumcision. Circumcision was given by God to Abraham in a covenant from Genesis 17. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you, between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including his born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. So there's a covenant that God has said, I will keep my word to you. You know, Paul makes the comment later on that says that, you know, circumcision is only of any value if it's accompanied by obedience. And that's about keeping that covenant. And really, that's what Paul is talking about. It's about integrity. It's about profession without performance, ritual without reality. I think I've shared before that at times when I was early in the career and I was having to sit my promotion exams, you did that because it was expected of you. As soon as you got through 2 years probation, the next thing you were supposed to do was sit your sergeant's exam. So I did. And I have to say I wasn't very good at it. So I got to try again the next year. And I still wasn't any better. And then an inspector took me aside and he said, do you understand what you're supposed to be doing? And I said, what, passing the exam? He said, no, I'm not talking about passing the exam, it's about how to pass the exam is what I'm talking about. And he showed me the answer paper from the previous year. And he said, what do you see? And I said, boss, I see all that legislation just written out as it is in the books. He said, yes, learn it. And I sat and I learnt law off by heart. I could spout it and spout it and spout it some more. And it was there. In fact, Ross was only about 6 months old and I was holding him, feeding him. And I was telling him that crime, that theft is a crime at common law. And it's the felonious appropriation of property belonging to another or without lawful authority. I was telling him at 6 months old, that poor boy of mine, ours, he's not very good at grey things, he's very good at black and white. It's either right or it's wrong. That might have been me. But you know, I learnt that law. But there was no point in professing it, I'd be able to speak about it, no point being able to arrest people for breaking it if I wasn't upholding it. Profession with performance. I had to uphold that law. So that's how my life would live. A doctor spends many years training and learning. And we see what happens when they breach medical practice. A politician, they have rules and regulations that govern them. And we see what happens when they move away from these practices. And a member of the clergy. Well, we see what happens if they fall from grace. But here's a wee question. Is it any different for a minister, for a clergyman, or a Christian? Leaving that with you for a moment. What we're talking about, what Paul's talking about, is the ethics and practicality in life. It's integrity. That idea of ritual without reality. First of all, to think about what Paul's talking about. Circumcision at the time was a thing that was talked about. Read the words from Genesis about God giving that as a sign of the covenant. But actually, 166 to 160 BC, in the Maccabean Revolt, there were some Jews who were abandoning circumcision for a more Hellenistic way of thinking. They were wanting to remove the marks of circumcision and they wanted to abandon the Holy Covenant. This was the world's influence coming in on them. There was also a direct attempt to ban circumcision. It had become a capital offence to circumcise a child. So just 66 years before Christ, that's the situation the Jews were facing. And the more pious Jews among them rose up and they won. And circumcision, because of that, circumcision became an even more important, a greater importance than it had been. So when Paul's speaking about it, that revolt is not so terribly far away. That was something that people were holding on to again. But Paul said that circumcision is an outward sign. Being a real Jew is a matter marked by circumcision of the heart, a circumcision that comes in context of the Holy Spirit, not the written code. He says this, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So that whole idea then, he speaks about circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. That's also an Old Testament references that people would have known about it, heard about that. So it would be nothing new. But actually it changes things, and it changes things for us as well. What about us? What about now? Well, it still counts. Profession without performance, ritual without reality. That's about our integrity. What we're called to do is to talk the talk and walk the walk. But we can only do that in and by and through God's grace, through His Holy Spirit. And that's how we live. That's how we're called to live as Christians. If we have profession without performance, all we have is people talking and not showing, not leading, not being. And we can all see through that. If we have ritual without reality, we're going through the motions of a people called to serve God. But all we're doing is going through the motions. It's ritual. So we do this because this is how we do it. We do it because this is how we've always done it. We do it because this is what it looks like in this place. So it's not just about coming to church on a Sunday morning, but it's how we live our lives 24/7. It's about our ethics, it's about our practicalities, and it's about our integrity as Christians, as believers. Paul said that circumcision only has value if there's obedience to God as well. Believe our faith, our calling only has value if it's followed by obedience by us to follow Him. We can't do it on our own. God knows that. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit. That's why He promised the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that circumcises our hearts, takes the hardness from our hearts and opens them up to the beauty of our God, and enables us to know the salvation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us. By Your Holy Spirit, present with us now, fill each one of us. Break our hearts, mend us again. May we follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. Let's stand to worship. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place now, send us out knowing profession and performance, ritual and reality. Father, lead us by your Spirit in your ways, and may we share your love with your people all around us. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.